ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, for the first time on Skype and in video, kind of in person, it's your boys Locked Down. We're switching it up a little bit this week. We're doing it from the comfort of our own homes because it's kind of dope doing it that way. Not going to lie. I kind of like it. Guys, it's been a while.
It's been a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's been almost a long time.
Almost a month.
Life's gotten in the way.
Gone for a minute, but we back. We're back, and we are ready to... Well, we're not going to talk about everything that's happened in the last month, because that would be easily a six-hour podcast episode. So, instead, let's keep it local. Let's keep it fresh. Let's keep it relevant. Matt.
What up? That's me.
That's you. I know you had a thought about some Packers news.
All right, so Mike McCarthy fired, got the axe, probably like 99% because of Aaron Rodgers, but let's go ahead and leave that for another day. So they need a new head coach, probably just starting next year, and they need somebody who can revitalize the offense, who can kind of revitalize Aaron Rodgers. I think Josh McDaniels is a perfect chance. I think that's a perfect opportunity for him to come in, get one more shot in the NFL as a head coach, hopefully help Aaron Rodgers in that offense grow, because they're kind of stuck. I mean, they were struggling against the Cardinals to move the football. That offense needs a kick in the butt, and they need to change it around a little bit. And I don't think Aaron's going to want to, because those quarterbacks like to play in the same system. So I think if you get someone like Josh McDaniels, I think he'll help maybe revitalize the team a little bit, get a young guy in there. I think the worst thing they could do is bring in some old guy who has been around for 45 years. I think that's like the worst thing that team could do.
I heard a rumor, and the head coach knocked it down, or the retired head coach knocked it down, but Bruce Arians was a potential pick to – and it's kind of funny because the talk of who's going to take over as head coach has been all speculation. There have been no head coaches that have said, yeah, I'm up for that job, or – Bruce Arians was the first one to say, no, I am. And Bruce Arians, the former head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, he said, no, I'm not interested in that job. The only job he's interested in is with the Cleveland Browns, which I thought was really interesting, because that is a semi-young team that is looking to make a rebound in the NFL.
I'd rather coach the Browns than the Packers at this point.
Could you, Matt... Like, here's the kind of answer to your question and get back into it. I'm going to ask Chris next, but I dropped my headphone. But the pressure of coaching in Green Bay is insane. I mean, not only do you have the history of Lambeau Field, the history of the team, one of the first teams to win the Super Bowl in, what was it even called back then? And AFL? The AFL Super Bowl, NFL, I don't even remember.
Yeah, AFL. Right.
I don't remember because I wasn't there. But there's a lot of pressure. But in Cleveland, it's expected we're going to suck. But maybe we're going to suck a little bit less. A little bit less. So that'd be interesting to have Arians come in. But back to the topic. I agree. I would love to see McDaniels come in. I know there's been a lot of people saying that the Packers shouldn't keep their – again, McDaniels is focused on what's going on in New England right now, so we can't expect to hear anything until, and let's be honest, after their Super Bowl game. But
I don't know about that one.
What are your thoughts?
Kansas City's good, man.
You think even without a good running? I mean, they signed – who was it?
They got my most hated receiver in the NFL, the boy Kelvin Benjamin.
Oh, they got Benjamin, and then – God.
They got Charkandrick West.
Yeah,
who used to play for them.
Yeah,
and so, they have Spencer Ware.
Yeah, Ware's always a semi-reliable guy. Yeah. You think the Chiefs are really going to make a run?
I hope not.
It's depend, man. I hope they do. It's going to depend on how Patrick Mahomeboy plays in the playoffs.
Oh, he's going to be
Mahomeboy.
He's never played. He's never been here before. So we'll see if he chokes. A lot of guys do in their first or second time, but
I'm going to rebound back in a second. I think the Texans, personally, are going to make a run. I'm feeling this Houston train right now. That defense is so strong. I'm really confident in the Texans. We can come back to this in a minute to round up my point before I move it on to Chris. Yes, I agree with Matt. McDaniels I think the problem with McCarthy that I always had was he never, for one, he never gave Aaron Rodgers the leadership that I felt like he needed to have. Like, there was a story that I heard from a source from Packers camp that, you know, they would meet up, Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy would meet up during the week. Usually on Saturday would be their day to meet up, talk about plays, go over things like that. But most of the time, McCarthy was more than just a play caller. He took the head coaching role to, you know, its fullest. And he had a lot of other stuff to do, talk about the defense, offensive coordinator, play calling, et cetera, special teams. So he would miss that meeting, the quarterback meeting, a lot of the time. So it was kind of up to Rodgers, Tim Boyle,
Joe Philbin,
and why am I blanking on our backup quarterback's name right now? Deshaun Kizer. It was those four meeting in a meeting. But on Saturday night, McCarthy would switch up a lot of the plays after the meeting was over. What Boyle and Kizer's job was, during the games on Sunday, they would fill Rodgers in the best that they could while the game was going on, saying, hey, here's what McCarthy, you know, went over on Saturday night. Here's what he went over, because Rodgers has a lot of stuff to go over on his own. He's got plays of his own, stuff like that. And not only that, but I saw this online that when Rodgers was in the huddle, he would switch up and audible a majority of McCarthy's plays. So there was obviously a lot of animosity between. I actually heard there was a conspiracy theory that when Rodgers and Alex Smith were part of the 05 draft class, McCarthy was the offensive coordinator of the 49ers, and he wanted Alex Smith, and they got Alex Smith.
Yep.
Ooh. He didn't want Aaron Rodgers. Mm-mm. He wanted Alex Smith.
Oh, man.
I didn't know that. I'm a big conspiracy theory guy. I think I love that stuff. I think it's hilarious, but I don't know. Obviously, McCarthy got the job 13 years ago. What year was that? I don't know, 06, I think. And that's the point I want to make here, is that 13 years working between Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, two of the the group of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Rodgers is making his way there, if not already there. And only one Super Bowl trip. And then a couple NFC championship trips. I don't think McCarthy knew how to work with a superstar. I don't think he knew. Maybe he didn't trust Rodgers enough. Maybe it's that he just didn't want to be on. I don't know. But
Rodgers is a diva. Let's be honest here.
He is. I 100% agree with you.
So there's two divas in pro sports right now. It's Kevin Durant and Aaron Rodgers. Those are the guys. Those are the guys.
Yeah, right. He is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't blame McCarthy for not being able to deal with Rodgers. I don't think most head coaches could. But that's why I say McDaniels. I think you need a bright offensive mind to come in.
A special person like McDaniels, who now Tom Brady may not be as much of a diva, but he's had his run-ins of that.
Right.
McDaniels has worked a long time with Brady. You've seen them fighting on the sidelines. You've seen them arguing over plays. But at the end of the day, they come back together because McDaniels trusts and respects Brady, just like Brady trusts and respects McDaniels. I think that would be that's something that could benefit the Packers. Chris, you got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, my thinking is they're going to go young with a coach, and I'm thinking it's going to be Lincoln Riley from Oklahoma.
Okay.
Similar to what Sean McVay is doing in L.A., they have a young offensive mastermind there.
Okay.
All right, and he has, since he's young, he has a really good relationship with his players, and he can relate to them and stuff. I think if Aaron Rodgers has a young coach that he can relate with, that it would just only help that offense. That Oklahoma is one of the best offenses in college football, and he hasn't coached in the NFL at all. I don't think Lincoln Riley had any assistant jobs or anything, but I mean, why not?
I might need a few more years from Riley.
Look, that's why I disagree. He's never been in the NFL.
He hasn't.
You know what McDaniels has to do to get Rodgers' respect? Bring his rings and go like this.
Yes.
Boom,
yes.
There you go. He's got four of them.
But look what McDaniels did with Denver.
He was getting them there.
Yeah.
The team that he put together beat the Steelers in the playoffs. the team that he put together.
If he does coach the Packers, you know who their backup quarterback's going to be?
Tim Tebow!
He drafted Tim Tebow.
We can only hope. He drafted Demaryius and Tebow, who were
the
franchise picks. Yeah,
and now they're both gone.
Moving on to more quarterback talk. The Baltimore Ravens. They have been forced to try out a new starting quarterback due to Joe Flacco's hip injury. He's questionable again this week. So he's going to be on the bench. But recently, Lamar Jackson has been killing it at QB1. Yes, thoughts?
I don't know about that. he runs a lot, man.
Yeah.
That defense is playing lights out. Now, they're playing really good ball control offense. They're running the ball a lot, converting third downs. But I don't know, man. The Chiefs are gonna murder them.
I have a question. So do you think – you remember when the Dolphins brought out the Wildcat offense and everybody was shook for maybe less than a season and then they figured them out? Do you think that's kind of what's happening in Baltimore right now? It's just they've been so used to Flacco for so long and the pocket passing that now they're watching a mobile quarterback and they're like, oh, my God, how do we stop this?
Yeah, because John Harbaugh hasn't had a guy like this.
Yeah.
And they got to get used to him. But – at this point, I mean, they've won 3 games in a row, and I mean, it's kind of hard to bench a guy that keeps winning. So even if he doesn't play all that great, and they keep winning, it doesn't matter. You know, just keep
playing. They're playing a brand of football where they don't make mistakes. They keep control of the football, and
he runs for 100 yards a game.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like it's like a running back and a quarterback combined.
It's a lot less pretty. Yeah. They keep winning. It's not a very pretty offense, but they're winning. So that's all that matters. I mean, it's the same thing that happened with Dak in Dallas.
Yeah.
When he came in his rookie year and Tony Romo got hurt. Nobody knew what this kid could do. He comes out and they go, 12-4? He wins rookie of the year? All that nonsense. And then it turns out he's not really that great of a quarterback. And I think that's what's going to happen with Lamar Jackson.
Now I have a question.
Yeah. What up?
If Lamar just totally dominates them this season, takes them into the playoffs, and makes a run, what do they do with Flacco?
Trade him.
Yep, trade him.
I don't remember what his contract is like at this point, because I know he signed some really big deal. I don't remember how many years ago it was.
Which is unfortunate. Yeah,
it was a while ago.
So, yeah, I mean, he could be coming up on his contract, which would make it easier to trade him.
He signed he signed a 3-year deal in... a 3-year deal.
Or for like $300 million?
$66
million. What do you think this is, the NBA?
Yes. No.
So he's entitled to the team until 2022. And he'll be 37 by then.
That's really bad.
That's going to be tough.
That was a bad
thing. He does have a potential out at... in 2020, that's when he can opt out in 2020.
I wonder what their cap hit is if they just get rid of him, just cut him.
$8 million.
Not that bad.
Oh wait, I'm sorry. At the opt out, it's $8 million dead cap.
So a lot more.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, they should try to see if anybody will trade for him. Maybe trade a 7th rounder for him.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Because Lamar might be there. It could be their guy. Could be.
Yeah.
If he can go into Kansas City and go into the Chargers stadium and beat them both, because they play them they play both teams in the last 4 games of the year, and like win 3 of the next 4 games, go to the playoffs, make a run. I think it's his job next year.
What they need to do is they need to start Lamar for the rest of the regular season. And then as soon as they get to the postseason, you start Joe Flacco, because Joe Flacco is one of the greatest postseason quarterbacks in the history of this league. Boom. There you go.
Changing the game. Nobody would see it coming. Nobody. Would see it coming.
That would actually be smart in a way.
The team's talking about
throw everybody off.
The team's kind of talking about like, Lamar's our guy. We're going with Lamar. Can you imagine divisional round? First snap, Flacco runs out in the field. It's over. The whole defense would be swayed. Correct. I don't even know what to do. That's
like,
it. Dude,
the linebacker's like, are we still containing? What do we do? I don't understand.
There's a solid chance that the Ravens could actually jump over the Steelers, and the Steelers could get knocked out if they just keep choking.
Oh, it's right, because Denver's making a run.
Now Denver's making a run. Tennessee's making a run. And Indy could make a run. They got shut out.
I don't know about that anymore.
So there's like three or four teams like that are making a run at this point.
Yeah.
And
what are the Titans now?
They're 7-6.
7-6, yeah.
The Ravens are 7-5, and I think the Steelers are 7-4-1. This is tight. We got like three or four 6-6 teams.
We've seen what the Titans can do. When they play well, they can beat literally anybody.
Oh, they're the most inconsistent team in the NFL, it seems.
Yeah.
They're hard to read.
But they put it together.
They blow out the Patriots, and they barely beat the Jets. They struggle to beat the Jets. Or they'll get like blown out by a terrible team. They lost to the Bills.
But now's the time for them to be consistent. Marcus Mariota had a really bad injury at the beginning of the year. Yeah. He had that nerve damage in his hand. He had to wear that weird glove. So realistically, with a healthy Mariota, they've only lost like two games this year. I don't know, though. If they can turn it on, I think they can make a run. But other than that, let's go to the NFC now. What team do you think is going to make a run that you may not expect in the NFC?
Green Bay Packers.
They're gonna make a run for the number one
pick.
We all
saw what Baba Yaga, Aaron Rodgers said. Gonna go. They're gonna beat Arizona.
He didn't do that.
Atlanta. They probably won't beat Atlanta. Gonna beat Chicago. Go home. Beat Chicago. Gonna stay home. Beat the Jets. And we're gonna go to beat Detroit.
You should hope they lose the rest of those games.
I do hope they lose the rest of these games.
Because they need a good draft pick.
Someone other than, like, just the front office is – I refuse to do another Packers rant this week. Okay. But let's move on. I can't do it. I hate the front office.
My team here. I'm thinking the Seahawks can make a run.
Agreed.
But, I mean, they've had the experience. They have – Russell Wilson's been there before. Pete Carroll's been there before. It's hard to doubt. I mean, they're not as good as they used to be. But when you got Russell Wilson, I mean, you're in pretty good shape. So yeah. I can just say they're on a 3-game win streak right now. They started off pretty slow, but I think they can make a pretty solid run.
Matt, what do you think?
I'm going, if Mitch Trubisky is healthy, I'm going Bears. I
could agree with that.
Yeah. Bears team, dude.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Some of the stars they have are a little bit inconsistent. They don't really give you 100% every play. They'll take some plays off. But I think when they have to make plays, when they play teams like the Packers, when they get in the playoffs, they're gonna turn it on all game for those.
Mm-hmm.
I love this team.
Can we
interesting schedule too to end the year?
Yeah.
Can we go ahead and host the Rams? Make a marker right now and talk about how dominant this Dallas defense has been recently.
So good.
This is one of my favorite teams in the NFL right now. God, they're so good.
Like, they're so much fun to watch. They're just over the field, dude.
It's when Dak gets the support from his defense and Zeke gets the support from Dak because he gets the support from the defense, you can't stop him. And it's crazy because they're doing this. They were already doing this, but the only thing that was falling back was their wide receiver core. Now they got Amari, who is just having a field day because he's with a team that actually likes him.
Likes being there.
They haven't lost since he got traded there.
Yeah, and this is crazy because, what was it, 4 weeks ago, I gave a letter about how Dallas is done, and I think everybody in the NFL was like,
I think they heard it.
Yeah, like nobody trusted this team, but then they got one person that changed their – because it gives – now they're they got a free safety and a cornerback double covering Amari, which leaves guys like I can't name any off the top of my head, but
Michael Gallup has been having a couple good weeks.
Yeah, Gallup in his way to the end zone.
There it is. I didn't miss those at all.
That was a pretty good one. Dallas looks good. Philly does not look good.
They're only one game apart, and they play on Sunday.
They're a game apart. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Philly 6-6.
About to be two games.
7-5.
This game is huge. Now they're in Jerry World, so I think they're going to be okay. But who knows? They're the Cowboys. They may blow it like they always do.
They could.
They're going to go 8-8. Just like every year. 8-8, 9-7 every year.
This isn't Tony Romo era anymore. So I have a little bit more faith in them than I did back then. But I don't know. I mean, that defense is legit. When you got a defense like that, it's hard to root against them or bet against them.
It's just it's like
the Cowboys.
The Ravens defense and the Cowboys defense is very similar. And that is just old school balls to the wall defense, which is yard to yard. Let's get the job done. Give our offense some time to, which you would think, why not every defense do that? But you got to look at the coordinators and who's on the who's on the defense. This is a big question. And this Dallas defense has ruthless young guys that just want to go win a championship. And I love it.
Yeah, I love it. The thing that defenses need to adjust to is they've just been this thing where they take safeties and they make them linebackers. They buff them up because they're like speed's so important. But at the end of the day, you have guys like Leighton Vander Esch, who's not like that fast, but he's like Brian Urlacher. He hits you and you're going down. Mm-hmm. He knows how to play
he's
the gaps.
Smart.
He has awesome technique and he's smart. Yeah. That's what's more important. You don't just put a bunch of fast guys over there because you're going to go in a gap and the running back's just going to run around him. So, you know, I think Leighton Vander Esch, he said he's learned a lot from Sean Lee. I don't doubt that, mm-hmm. but that guy is good.
He's so like you can't. If you're an open field with him, you're not getting by him.
Not happening.
I don't care who you are. You're not getting by him. Like I want to see Todd Gurley and Vanderworth go at it open field. I guarantee Vanderworth's getting it. I'm almost positive.
Oh yeah.
There are no hurdles over that man. He's a freaking beast.
How many picks has he had this year too? It seems like every game I watch now he's intercepting the ball.
I think he has three.
Yeah. Well, recently he's just been on fire.
Yeah.
And the pass rush and the run defense. I mean, New Orleans couldn't do a thing.
If it wasn't for Randy Gregory wearing a New Orleans Saints jersey, they would have won that game by like 20 points.
Should have been like 20-3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally.
That was impressive.
Well, I want to go back to quarterbacks for a second.
Yeah.
Who are your guys' MVP picks this year?
Okay. Right now, I got mine. That's my boy, Patrick, my homeboy. I'm talking about.
That's freaking goat.
Come on.
That's right, Chris. That's right. That's right. Go ahead, Chris. Make your pick. Who's your pick? Say it. Say it to my face.
I think it's Drew Brees.
I knew you were going to say that. Entire NFL.
But I think it's going to – I mean, it's a toss-up between him and Mahomes. I think – it's going to come down to which team ends up with the better record or seems to be the better team at the end of the year. And whoever or whatever team that is, that guy's going to win the MVP. But to me, it's – I don't know. I just have a feeling it's going to be Drew Brees. I think Mahomes is having a better year statistically, but I think Brees is going to win it.
So that's my issue with the MVP race. Of, you know, like the team with the better record, that's the team, the team of the player that's getting the MVP. I almost,
when it comes down to voting, it's about winning.
Yeah, and like I get it. Here's what I have to say about the MVP race. You got Drew Brees and Patrick Mahomes. Aaron Donald should probably be in the consideration. Up until last week, I believe that Andrew Luck should be in consideration. But, you know, Colts. Drew Brees. Pat Mahomes. Brees does not make mistakes. He's proved that over the years. Mahomes does. Mahomes has lost two primetime games, or two games that were in primetime, against New England and against the Rams. The combined record of those two teams was 20-4. Brees lost to the Bucs at home and Dallas on the road. Granted, Dallas is making a bit of a comeback, but still, the combined record, 12-12. In those losses, the Saints averaged 25 points. The Chiefs averaged 45. With that being said, there's one. Both quarterbacks could go ahead and blame the defense on that one. But I think of those people, Mahomes has the most right to blame the defense. But he still went out there and finished the job. In those three games, I'm almost done.
Okay.
And I'm about to send Chris packing.
Breeze
has thrown less than 180 yards. His touchdown to interception ratio, 6-3. Mahomes, in his three worst games, in the two games that Breeze had, and yeah, backpedaling. In Mahomes' three worst games, he has just south of 300 yards, his touchdown to interception ratio, 10-0.
10-0?
Yep. In his three worst games this year, just south of 300 yards, 10-0 touchdown to interception ratio. Mahomes, listen, he's capable of things that Breeze is not.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no doubt. He's
I think if maybe this is stepping over a boundary. I know I have. I think personally, this Saints team may not be where they are without Breeze. I love Drew Breeze. I'm not at all trying to rag him down. But I believe that if, for some reason, Drew Breeze was not the starting quarterback of this team and Teddy Bridgewater, or who I can't think of who the other backup quarterback is, was forced to start, they would be north of 500. They would have over 7 or 8 wins right now.
You're trying to tell me that Taysom Hill would be 7-5 right now.
But you have to look at the team. You have to look at the team up to this point. Up to this point, you have to look until Dallas completely exposed the Saints.
They don't have any receivers.
I think put one of those quarterbacks in Kansas City, and they would do much better.
I don't know about that one.
What?
Because you have to score like 45 points to win in Kansas City, because that defense is kind of atrocious.
And that's what I'm trying to say, is that Mahomes is put in a lot worse situations. And like, go ahead.
I think you're underestimating how important it is to have a great quarterback.
I don't think
Teddy Bridgewater or Taysom Hill could be any better than like 2-9 right now, or whatever they would have to be.
But like
those guys turn the ball over at an astounding rate. At least in college, Taysom did.
I just think you have to look at the overall. The Saints are a better team than the Chiefs overall.
Yeah, and, I mean, I agree.
Yeah.
I think the skill players on Kansas City are better than on the Saints.
This has got a point there as well.
Yeah, because definitely. The Saints do not have a tight end. I'm sorry, they do not have a good tight end.
Yeah.
Can you Benjamin Watson, I think, is their best tight end. And he's like, what, 30? Yeah, he's like 50 years old. So they have Michael Thomas. Who else? Name another wide receiver they have that's like a big name.
They should have re-signed Willie Snead. I don't know why they didn't.
Is he a Baltimore now still?
Yeah, he is. So they got Michael Thomas is a beast. He's awesome.
That was a bad move. And they got rid of Brandon Cooks. They had Brandon Cooks before, right?
Yeah, they did.
They're not gonna get to the Super Bowl because of those moves. So they don't have any weapons.
Dallas completely exposed their entire offensive playbook.
Yeah. Drew Brees has two really good running backs. He has Kamara and Mark Ingram. He's got that goal for him. He's got Michael Thomas, then he's got nobody else.
Yeah.
And he just makes the guys really good because he's an amazing quarterback. It's like what Brady does, what Rodgers does. He makes no-name guys look good. But in general, if you put Bridgewater or Taysom Hill with those guys, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think that's what brings Breeze over the edge to me.
The offensive line in New Orleans gives Breeze more time than the Chiefs' offensive line in Kansas for Mahomes in Kansas City.
Yeah.
So because Mahomes – they've been doing it all season, but it was their Monday night game against, was it Denver? Where he just had a really good game that game.
We came back. We were winning.
His offensive line gave him, it had to be a second and a half to make a call or get out of the pocket. And to watch him do it play after play after play was amazing. And like, if he's continuously given this year after year, it's going to wear him down. I know it is. And that's why I think the Chiefs' first priority should be the O-line. But looking at this year and not in the future, that's personally why I believe Mahomes should be MVP, the stats that I gave beforehand, over Not saying that Breeze gives up. I'm definitely not saying that when looking at it. I'm just – when given poor circumstances, Mahomes is young and he does a better job of making, you know, making a bad play into something.
Something into nothing because he can run.
Yes. I think we can all agree, though, that this is going to be one of the tighter MVP races in a long time.
It's like the Heisman this year. It's tight. Yeah.
I want to talk about that, but first I want to make a joke. Kansas City Chiefs need to draft some good players. What they don't need to do is draft a running back who hits women. All right, there we go.
Oh!
All right.
Signing out.
Domestic violence is
let's go to the Heisman now.
That's reflecting the NFL.
It's moving on.
The NFL doesn't care about domestic violence. So
we have three finalists, right?
Who should win the Heisman? Chris, go.
Wait. Okay, so the finalists are Tua Tagovailoa. Is that how you? Yeah. Okay. From Alabama, and then we have Kyler Murray from Oklahoma, and Dwayne Haskins from Ohio State. They're all quarterbacks.
That's tight, man.
I think this is going to be one of the more interesting Heisman's in a long time, too.
I think some things to note: Haskins, did he break the FBS or Ohio State record for touchdowns?
Ohio State.
He is almost 50, right?
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he broke the Ohio State record for passing yards and passing touchdowns.
Which is amazing because they have a lot of history of good quarterbacks there. And let's see. Who are the other ones?
Kyler Murray and Tua.
Tua's proven consistency throughout the year. Like his stats are very good, but he very similar to you know guys like Rodgers and Brady and Breeze, like we were just talking about. He's turned good wide receivers into great ones, and a good running game to a great one, a good tight end game to a great one. He pulls the best out of his team, and frankly, out of the coaches, out of the fans. So he's really, you can't say he's turned that program around. The program's been good for years, but he's made the next quarterback at Alabama. He's given him very big shoes to fill. And then Kyler, I mean, God, he can do everything. Like, have you seen how fast that guy runs?
He's crazy.
When he gets out of the pocket,
he's the most athletic quarterback I've ever seen in my entire life. Dude is
nuts. How tall is he? Like 5'9"?
Yeah, he's super short.
And, so, I mean, I don't care about that anymore because we've proven it. Drew Brees has proven it, and Russell Wilson's proven it that small quarterbacks can go and dominate in the NFL.
So, what do you guys look at when you think of a Heisman?
Yeah.
A deserving Heisman winner. What are your thoughts? What should be the criteria met in order to win the award?
Big performances in big games.
Okay.
Tua Tagovailoa almost sunk Alabama's season in the SEC championship game. It took a heroic effort from Jalen Hurts for them to win that game. Tua had three turnovers before he got injured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do not think – I mean, look, Tua had a great year playing at the Citadel and playing the South Carolina Gamecocks. Yeah, he had a great year. You know who else had a great year? Dwayne Haskins, the dude who walked in to Michigan and beat them by 30-plus points.
Dude, it was so bad. Yeah.
He's also set almost all of the Ohio State quarterback records. Dude is a monster. I think Tua's going to win it because of the Alabama bias in college football.
Yeah.
But I think Dwayne Haskins deserves to win it.
I agree.
Man is crazy good. He took a team with a coach that I think is dying in an offense that wasn't going anywhere, and then now they're in – I think they're in the Rose Bowl. But
Urban Meyer's going to retire too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He almost died on the sideline just having a heart attack.
Even to add that, what an awful year for Ohio State. I mean, Urban Meyer he made a lot of questionable calls in his past, in this season. But there was just a lot of drama in Ohio State this year. And Haskins really took his team and went over that. You know,
he didn't have a good team.
Let's just focus on winning. That was just their objective.
They had an objectively a bad team.
Yeah.
Dwayne Haskins made them an elite college football program again. That to me is what a Heisman winner should do. You know what I mean? I hate Alabama guys winning it because the team is already amazing. But sorry, go ahead.
I'll tell you, Kyler Murray, just looking at his stats here, just makes me think that he's going to win it. He has over 4,000 yards passing, 40 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and he also has 892 rushing yards and 11 touchdowns. Averages over 7 yards a carry. I mean, this dude's insane.
Damn.
He's real good.
And the only team they lost to this year was Texas, who they ended up beating in the Big 12 championship.
Definitely the playoffs are going to be the proving grounds between – if it's going to come down to Kyler or Tua, that's where we're going to that first round is where we're going to figure it out. Who's going to step up? Because Tua's obviously going to start. His ankle injury was only going to keep him out for 2 weeks last week. So
he's in a walking boot right now. Tua is.
I think he'll be fine.
He was at the College Football Playoff Awards.
They gave him a 2 week timetable to come back. Okay. So.
And that's the problem with the Heisman. The Heisman takes place next weekend.
Oh, really?
This weekend.
Is it this weekend?
Yeah, I think it's before.
It's before the playoff games. So they could give it to Tua. He could go up, throw 3 more interceptions in the playoff game, and he'd be like, I won a Heisman.
Oh, that's so messed up.
It's really stupid, man. I hate it. It's the worst. Yeah. Heisman voting is a joke. When Jameis Winston won it, that thing went to garbage.
Yeah.
Tebow won it, too.
Yeah, but he's a great person, so that's fine.
He is a great person. Jameis, he steals crabs from grocery stores.
Yeah, he does. I mean, he's playing okay. Jameis is playing all right. He's getting back. He beat my team.
Jameis.
He beat my team last week. I'm gonna cry. But they're gonna lose to the Browns this week. So I'm getting ready for it.
The Panthers. Yeah, the Bucks play the Saints. They're probably gonna lose too.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know. But you know,
Kyler Murray. He's gonna. It looks like he's gonna be one of those once in a generation players that plays in the NFL and the MLB and be like really good at both.
Well, hold on. Because
he's interested in doing that.
He committed to Oakland. He already told Oklahoma that he's going to sign, or he signed with Oakland. So he's going to go to their farm system. Could he still get drafted in the NFL? Cause what is he, a junior, sophomore?
He's going to go to the draft most likely, but the NFL season goes on, I guess, while the MLB season is out.
The August to October overlap. Yeah, and off season too.
I don't know. He's got to decide.
I don't know if you can do that anymore. I think the schedules were different when Bo did it.
Yeah, they were.
Maybe he'll play like a handful of NFL seasons and then decide to retire early and then go to the MLB.
Well, because Bo, I forgot who made the.
That's why Michael Jordan did that.
Somebody made a quote saying, where should Kyler go? And he made a point of how many football players do you see playing into their late to early 30s and 40s? You know, a lot of baseball players are retiring at 45, 47, 50 is kind of the limit. But
and they make more money in the MLB.
And they make more money. So at football,
it's crazy.
Maybe mid-30s, especially with the style of football he plays, mid-30s and – maybe at most mid-30s at most, but then you get a guy like Joe Flacco that he could probably push the 40s if he, or you know, Tom Brady, you know, guys like that that are pocket passers. But Kyler puts his body out, you know. Deshaun Watson, I don't see him getting into the late into 40s.
Athletic quarterbacks, especially like
it's,
him,
it's a dangerous position you're putting yourself, no matter what kind of rules they put over, you know. It's you know, but yeah, that's interesting. I'm yeah, I know he committed with Oakland. So he is going to go into their farm system next year.
I mean, Russell Wilson still plays in the Rangers farm
system. Yeah, he does spring training. Yeah, he plays.
So he may just play in the farm system and prepare for like when he's 30 or something to go play for the A's.
He can still do that.
Is Russell still allowed to do that?
Yeah. He does spring training. Yeah.
All right, guys. So the NFL season has been crazy this year. They got guys like Patrick Mahomes boy blowing it up. But then you have teams that suck when they have a pretty good roster and should be good. I'm going to start with Zach here. What is your most disappointing NFL team this year?
The Green Bay Packers.
I'm kidding.
It's a biased feeling because that's my team. But okay, so really – my biggest disappointment this year, I had the Jags going to the AFC Championship. And I also had the Panthers and the Falcons both having really good seasons. The Panthers have arguably been better than the Falcons, but still, I think the Jaguars are my top pick right now, just because they had there was a lot of hope for them because of how they played last year. But I think there's a lot of, I'm waiting 15 years from now for the 30 for 30 that's going to drop, talking about all the dirt happened between Jalen Ramsey and the entire secondary and defense of that team, because there has to be crap going on. But like, there's just the way that they've fallen this year, both schematically and as a whole, between Blake Bortles and all of his mayhem, which has been, God, like, we've been expecting that for a while now. And Cody Kessler is not a fit backup for the team.
He's Cody Kessler. I mean,
yeah, it's my pick's going to be the Jags, because I think everyone had him at least winning or coming in second of the AFC South, like behind Houston. The Titans were nowhere near, you know, divisional title contention. The Colts weren't even in talks of it, and now they're in last place, two games behind the Colts. So it's been a mess of a season for the Jags. So that's, yeah, the Jags have been a huge disappointment for everybody.
Yeah, Chris has,
I think,
a video.
We can all agree with that.
I think Chris has a video that perfectly encapsulates the Jags season, and, you know, just how horrible it's been.
Yes, let's check this out here.
Let's go ahead and do this. Yeah.
I mean, look at that flop.
Golly!
Look how hard he hit him, guys. Come on, that's not a flop.
Bomb.
You know your season's over when it comes to that. This isn't the NBA.
Also,
dude,
can you rewind it?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, thanks. One of my favorite clips is when they get the stop. Like, it's how mentally
weak. Beginning.
Okay, yeah. How mentally weak of a team do you have to be to do this? After he scored 4 touchdowns on you already. Look at what Jalen Ramsey does when they stop him on the goal line here. The score is 30-9. We just won the Super Bowl! Yeah!
In the fourth quarter, it's 30-9.
And then he falls down.
And the legendary flop.
Calais Campbell should have, like, smacked his face off for doing that. You know, that's the problem. They don't have any veteran leadership. You know, they got guys
leadership,
like,
period.
Doug Marone
sucks. Check this out.
Looking like James Harden.
Yeah. Here. A light little headbutt.
That was legit, man. That was a good sell.
Mike Vrabel, what a champ.
I think we need to see this again.
He's a good coach.
Yes.
Like, he looked like the cartoons when you slip on a banana. That's literally what he looked like. It's freaking video.
Absolutely. God. He's been Mike Vrabel's had a good year, man. He's a pretty good coach. He surprised me.
Yeah.
A lot of those Bill Belichick guys aren't. I don't think Bill Bryan's a good coach. He got really lucky with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
And then that defense that he didn't have anything to do with. He just got lucky, honestly. That's my opinion. But I think Vrabel's done a lot with what he's had. He's used every piece he's had accordingly. It's impressive.
Agreed.
So talking about – oh, wait, what's up?
Yeah, I was going to say thoughts.
Okay. Talking about teams using their pieces accordingly, let's move into the NBA, where the Western Conference is like a joke at this point. The number one seed keeps flipping, like, every day. Before it was the Clippers, and now Chris's Denver Nuggies.
Buddy. The Denver Nuggets.
The Nuggets. And then my team, the Lakers, they're up there playing pretty well.
Your team?
When did this happen? What the hell? When did this happen?
It's like so close to his skin, like, his teeth.
When did you know?
Squad, and then you got JaVale McGee, you got Michael, you got Lonzo Ball.
I want to say something really quick, and then we're gonna move right on because, look.
Oh, we're not gonna skip the Denver Nuggets. Hold on.
I have a track record of hating on LeBron for pretty much no reason whatsoever.
Yeah.
I saw a video online of him hitting that game-winning shot. I don't remember who they were playing. Their last game. Who was it? I don't remember who they were playing.
Last game, he didn't hit a game-winning shot, but he put up 20 points in the fourth quarter including that like three pointer from like 80 feet away.
That's what it was. That had like Adam Sandler and everybody. Yeah, it was that shot. That, like, first of all, that whole city loves the guy. And I think that's kind of cool. I don't like Los Angeles, but I think it's cool to see. It's for one, it's hilarious to be like, I bet LeBron, you know, all the Cleveland guy. Like, I bet LeBron misses Cleveland. He doesn't miss Cleveland. He does not miss Cleveland. Oh, I guarantee he's like performing on stage with like Travis Scott and Drake. And like he's hitting game shots and like Adam Sandler and like Ice Cube are like applauding it. Homeboy is in Los Angeles right now. Whoa. And so I was watching him hit that shot and I was a little happy because I'm like, you can see the smile on his face and you can see the jubilation pouring out of his pores. And I'm happy for the guy, mainly because he's not in the Eastern Conference anymore. But I'm happy for the guy. And my Celtics are still struggling, but they're coming back. But I'm happy for the guy. So
Celtics have won 4 straight games, by the way.
They have. They're making a turnaround.
They're playing pretty well.
It's coming. East is ours.
The Lakers, I mean, they had a slow start, but they're playing well now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're playing like every LeBron team does. Magic Johnson said they weren't going to become the team where LeBron is the primary ball handler for the whole game. And then now LeBron is the primary ball handler for the whole game.
He had to be. I mean.
Well, do you know what team they lost to by 32 points? The Denver Nuggets.
There it is.
Chris, so I have not watched a whole lot of basketball this season so far. Mainly these are Celtics games, but I've not watched a lot of non-Celtics games because of football season right now. What? Tell me about your Nuggets, Chris. Your Denver Nuggets, okay. Not your Nuggets. I want to hear about your Denver Nuggets. Tell me about
my Nuggets.
Okay.
Your Nugget. I want to hear about the details of your Nuggets.
So their team, honestly, since last year has not really changed all that much, but they're so young and they're so deep. And they're the second right now, they allow the second least amount of points in the NBA. Their defense has improved a lot this year. That's what's bringing them over the edge right now. Their defense has improved so much, and their offense is just as good as it always has been. They're right now on a 7-game win streak. They've beaten the Wolves, Thunder, Lakers, Blazers, and Raptors, to name a few. And 5 of the 7 games were on the road. So, and right now they're even at injuries right now. They have Will Barton, Isaiah Thomas, who hasn't played yet, on the bench, and their draft pick Michael Porter Jr. They all haven't even played.
So I totally forgot Isaiah Thomas was on the Nuggets.
and Gary Harris has been injured here and there. But now if they can get a fully healthy squad, I mean, they can go far right now. Right now they're number one in the West. I hope they can keep it going. It's going to be a tight race. But
I see they've got 6 guys averaging – I'm sorry, they've got 1, 2, 3 – yeah, 6 guys averaging over 10 points per game, and then like a bunch of people under that. Like that's a team right there.
See, they're one of those teams that they don't have a perennial all-star. They have just a bunch of really good players, and Jokic could be that one guy that could be a superstar.
Murray's been stacked,
and Murray's been awesome.
Yeah,
and Paul Millsap is really like the rock of this team in a way. Like
it's Paul Millsap, he's you know always solid.
You can just always expect great defense, and he's really good down low in the post. He's gonna always get a lot of rebounds. So overall, they're just such a tight team, and it's really fun to watch them play. They pass the ball so well. It's a really really good team. I'm excited to see how they play the rest of the year because they keep beating really good teams. They've beaten the Warriors already this year. They've beaten the Raptors on the road. Beat the Lakers by 32 points. They beat the Celtics. Yeah, I'm excited. We'll see how they can keep this going. But
yeah,
it's a good year. They missed the playoffs by one game 2 years in a row.
The funniest thing about the Western Conference right now, you've got all 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 teams right now that are within 6.5 games of first place. So 15 games. So listen to this. The San Antonio Spurs are 14, 11-14, 6.5 out. 6.5 out in 15th or 14th place. The Phoenix Suns are 4-21, 13.5 out. My God, man. Like, come on. I know it's a rebound season, but, or Jesus. Not a rebound season.
You see, the Suns. the Suns are in a good position because now they're going to get Zion in the draft.
Do you think it's okay for teams just to tank for Zion? Is that smart?
He's like the next LeBron James.
They're going to have DeAndre Ayton is going to be a monster.
This dude weighs like 200 pounds.
Oh, he's going to be so good.
So they have DeAndre Ayton, Devin Booker, and then they can get Zion. That's a big three. They got themselves a big three.
Shoot.
If they do indeed get Zion. But that's good.
He's like almost 300 pounds, and he can jump like 45 inches. Like he's like a, that's like his vertical.
I'm waiting for every team.
He's insane, and he can shoot. It's like he can do everything.
Kinda. He needs to work on his mid range game a little bit.
A little bit, but he can do almost everything, and he's only like 19.
When teams go into zone against when teams go into zone, he doesn't really do much. When they clog the paint, he can't get in. He just basically dishes it out. He's extremely ineffective against the zone, and teams don't run zone in the pros because they're so good at shooting. But at least on the college level, he's got to get better at shooting the ball. At least with some type of efficiency, he can make threes, but he's at like 25% or something like that. So he's gotta improve there.
He's young. He can improve. We'll see.
Yeah, he's only like 19 years old.
Yeah, and you know he'd be better off if they played for UNC, but.
I'm waiting for
it. I disagree. He's got Coach K. I disagree about that.
Yeah, I got Roy Williams.
Oh, boy.
I'm waiting for every team to hit, like, March. Like, February or March when they're 15 games out and they say, you know what, screw it. Let's play for Zion. And they just start playing four men on the court, three men in the court, just fighting to lose. That's going to be some real
basketball. There are a lot of teams fighting to lose right now. It's like the Cavs, Bulls, and Hawks all have 5 wins. And the Suns have 4. And everybody else is like semi-good or really good.
What if the Bulls get Zion Williamson, dude?
Dude, he's going to go to the Cavs. It's going to be the next LeBron that goes to the Cavs.
If he goes to the Bulls, dude, that team's going to be dangerous. But Zach LaVine and Zion as their big two, legit.
That vertical combined is like 100 inches.
Yeah, oh my gosh. I want to talk about one more thing, though, before we wrap up. Eastern predictions right now. Teams stay healthy. Who's going to get out of the East? Raptors, Bucks, Sixers, or for Zach's incredibly biased point of view, the struggling Celtics?
I'm going to start here. Yeah. I think it's Toronto. It's going to get out of the East.
Yeah.
Mainly, I mean, I think that trade definitely helped them with Kawhi Leonard. They added playoff experience now.
Oh, yeah. Now,
Kawhi Leonard has been there before. I don't know how many rings he has. And he's like 25. I don't know. But it seems like he's played for 10 years. And Danny Green has been there before. Yeah. I mean, pretty much the whole team has really been there. And they almost got to the conference finals last year. Or did they? Actually, they were in the conference finals, weren't they? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
I think this could be the year that they get there. They only have the Bucks, Sixers, and Celtics to really challenge them.
When the Raptors beat the Warriors a couple nights ago, the guys who scored at the end of the game, Danny Green, Kawhi Leonard, Danny Green, Kawhi Leonard, Kawhi Leonard.
Wow.
There you go.
Now it's going to be interesting when the All-Star break comes around, that trade deadline comes, the Raptors may even look to get more help and just bolster their lineup. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? I mean, the Sixers could do something. The Celtics could do something. The Bucks, I mean, they just got George Hill tonight.
They did. The Sixers are playing good basketball, man.
Yeah.
They're 8-2 in the last 10 games since they got Jimmy Butler. And that offense is working. Yeah. They don't have a lot of big-name guys out there on the court. They have a guy, though, that Chris and I saw live. His name is Furkan Korkmaz.
No! MVP! He
is a lights-out three-point shooter. That guy is good. He's a monster.
Sleeper.
X Factor off MVP. The bench.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy, man, he's clutch. They've been pretty good.
Furkan for MVP.
I'm going to go ahead and make my predictions for the East. I want to do this in story form. Okay? Gather around, children. This is the story of the raptor and the leprechaun. Shut up and listen to my story, Matt. There once was a speedy raptor who bragged about how fast he could run. Tired of hearing him boast, slow and steady, the leprechaun challenged him to a race. All the animals in the forest gathered to watch, including the nuggets. Raptor ran down the road for a while, and then and paused and rest. He looked back, and slow and steady leprechaun cried out, "How do you expect to win this race when you are walking along at your slow?" I'm sorry, the raptor cried out, "How do you expect to win this race when you're walking along at your slow, slow pace?" Raptor stretched himself out alongside the road and fell asleep, thinking, "There's plenty of time to relax. It's early in the season. It's early in this race." The slow and steady leprechaun walked and walked. He never stopped, never stopped, especially with his mentor, Brad Stevens, until he came to the finish line. The animals who were watching, especially the nuggets, cheered so loudly for the young leprechaun. They cheered so loudly, they woke up the raptor. Raptor stretched and yawned and began to run again, but it was too late. The Celtic leprechaun was over the line. After that, Raptor was reminded by himself and the nuggets, "Don't brag about your lightning pace, for the slow and steady Celtic wins the race."
Where did the nuggets come into this conversation?
You're an insane person.
What is this? The nuggets have nothing to do with the Celtics.
I'm gonna answer that with another story, Zach. You ready for this one? Shut off the dome. You ready for this? There once was a leprechaun who loved his gold. He refused to give the gold to anybody else on his team. And then they lost the games.
Hold the frick because on. Of that. Kyrie passes the ball more than anybody else on this team. This whole team is a team, good sir. I don't know what you're talking about right now. Jason this is a Tatum team.
Struggling hardcore. That's because he's not getting the opportunities to spot up shoot that he got last year. And maybe it's Brad Stevens. Maybe it's Kyrie Irving. I don't know. But he's not getting the looks. Gordon Hayward. Maybe it's Gordon Hayward being in the lineup. But he's not getting nearly the looks that he needs. And they're struggling because Jason Tatum isn't getting those.
Last night, Jaylen Brown started from the bench. He was a sixth man and it helped the team a lot. That benefited. I trust in Brad Stevens like I trust in Aaron Rodgers. He's going to get the job done. I know he is. He's going to get the job done. When Rodgers gets a new head coach, when he gets Josh McDaniels, it's over.
It's like how I got the job done against the Cardinals.
It's over.
They got to – hey, Chris, I got
to beat the Cardinals. Listen, dude.
They're going to go beat the Cardinals. You
listen,
know, at Lambeau.
Listen for a second here. Listen, they quit. They quit that game so they could get McCarthy fired. We all know that. Yeah, Crosby could have hit that field goal and sent it into overtime. But he's like, why bother? Let's get this man out of here.
No, that's not what happened.
He's not that big of a savage.
Do you not know my boy Mason Crosby? Do you not know?
Okay.
Do you not?
That guy cost me a fantasy game because he missed 5 field goals in one game and I started him.
Good.
I caught him ever since. He's not going on my team again. He's done. He lost his
Crosby's
job.
Crosby's having statistically the worst year of his career.
Oh, so it's awful. It's been a dumpster fire. But
I think if he tried to miss, he'd probably make it.
I think you need to tell him where the field goal post is. Like, he tries to, like, aim to the right instead of aiming towards the middle. I don't even know if he can. He might need glasses.
Yeah, he's getting old. He's an old man. I think Aaron Rodgers should get some glasses, too. I don't think he can see his players very well. He keeps milk throwing them. This guy wide open in the end zone. Right over his head. Right over his head. Couldn't hit him. Missed him.
That guy in the red jersey, he was wide open.
He didn't.
Love you, Zach.
He didn't throw any picks on Sunday.
I was just saying he overthrew the guy in the end zone and the pass that tied the game, but then he overthrew him and then they ended up losing. But
it's hard to play for a team under a coach that didn't want you on his first team. I'm just saying, McCarthy would have chosen Alex Smith any day of the week.
It's hard not to be a diva and cry when people say you're not very good on Twitter.
When you're
he's like, I'm the best quarterback ever.
Listen, okay, Mr. Laker, listen for a second. Look at LeBron. When you know you're the best, it's hard not to deny it. It's look at Tom Brady. It's hard to not admit you're the best and you want the best. You want the best in order to be the best. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Give Rodgers what he deserves.
Tom Brady's the GOAT. Patrick Mahomes is the best. What is Aaron Rodgers? He can throw the football. He's pretty good.
Give him a good coach. He's a two-time Super Bowl winning champ. That's all I'm saying. Give him a good coach. Give him somebody who's not going to change up the damn play calls on Saturday and have Tim Boyle come over and say, hey, listen, instead of running an I form flex, we're going to run shotgun spread. And be like, why? So I'm just saying.
He sounds like some pretty good excuses for Aaron. He's always got those, Chris. He's always got those sick excuses whenever things don't go his way. Yeah.
Sometimes your teams have to lose.
I'm just saying. Celtics and Warriors, 7 games to NBA Finals. I'm just saying. It's happening.
You mean Celtics and Nuggets?
I'm disgusted right
now. I've got the damn tweet. I saved it, and I'm going to retweet it in June when it happens.
It's going to be Raptors and Nuggets. Just wait.
This podcast has hit
Nuggets
the bottom.
Nuggets win 4.
This episode.
Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, Boogie Cousins, Draymond Green.
Boogie!
7 games?
Bro, I hate the Warriors. That team sucks. they're a bunch of bums.
So do the Packers.
I hate you so much. I think what an episode. Guys, it's good to be back.
We had to give you a hard time.
Hey.
But we still love you.
Hey. If you want to find us. We are on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, CastBox, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, and together now,
Stitcher.
Stitcher.
Bye, guys.